All right. The clock on the wall says it's time, motherfuckers. It's Flex 30, bitches. Welcome to episode 2. Episode 1 went down good. We had a few technical difficulties, but fuck, it's going to happen when you're on your first run. So in episode 2, we're going to go round 2 with Mr. Mitchell Sand. He's going to be in the house. We're going to talk a little shit. We're going to play some music. We're just going to fucking kick it, motherfuckers. So welcome back, episode 2. It's Flex 30, bitches. I'm Flex Bastard. All right, it's just a reminder. If you're in the Memphis, Tennessee area, April 23rd at 8 p.m., it's a Monday night, live at the Lamplighter Lounge. Midget Cum Mustache with Piss and Comets and William Blackheart. Come check the boys from Midget Cum Mustache out. Me, myself, motherfucking Deadly Dale, Ron Core, Skeety C on the drums, B-Red on the bass, and Mr. 193 Inc. Come check us out. We're going to be live, motherfuckers. All right, we're back, motherfuckers. The clock on the wall says it's time. Yes, indeed, it's time for round 2 with Mr. Mitchell Sand, Las Vegas' own, the motherfucking fitness guru, cannabis growing expert, proprietor of K1 Brands, top-notch smell technology. They make sense, bitches. So without any further fucking ado, we're going to go ahead and pick that interview up already in progress. It's round 2 with Mr. Mitchell Sand.
Hey, that was great.
Yeah, dude, that's a great story. That's hilarious, man.
Wow.
So, Mitch, let's get down to it, buddy. Steroids, good, bad, ugly. What's the deal? What are your opinions on steroids?
Oh boy, the big S word. Well, you know, the world's got rules before we're born. You know, we grow up as kids, we're put in these lanes, we're told how to be, what to do. But then, you know, your passion starts to come about. You know, your eyes start to open up. You start to look at the world. And for me, I was always physically active, you know. When it came to school, I was more physically active. And when it came to high school and playing football, and the idea is to be strong, and it just kind of took a life of its own. More wanting to kind of follow in Arnold's shoes is really what got me going. The, you know, being active as a young kid, like most of us are, is just natural. But the desire to want to be big and large, and you know, could have a lot to do with maybe my insecurity. I think a lot of boys have insecurities. Most people have insecurities. You find an outlet through becoming muscular, and the world looks good upon that. You know.
Yeah. See, I remember growing up, man. They pounded it into our heads that steroids were horrible. Steroids were horrible. That was back when Hulk Hogan was still saying his prayers and eating his vitamins. And, you know, my brother would have sworn to me that Schwarzenegger was all natural back in the day. I mean, they just pounded in our heads how bad it was. I mean, is it nearly as bad as people made it out to be in the late 80s and 90s?
My opinion, no. My opinion, no. Look, side effects are based on what you're coming to the card game with. You got to use some common sense in this if you're going to put some substances into your body. If you look at the death rates compared to steroid users compared to drinking coffee, I mean, there's more deaths in coffee than steroid use, especially when you come to realize how much these men and women are using to maintain their performance or look. So when you're going to affect industries, you make steroids legal, you change the whole athletic game. Every day there's going to be a new record being broken. There has to be a governor on it. There has to be a limit. Now, the negative parts that come about, do I believe it should be legalized? I think it should be legalized. but I think it should be legalized with the way they control everything that's legalized, and they make it legitimate so it's as healthy and sound as it can be for the user.
Yeah.
Just like what they're doing with cannabis now, legalizing cannabis. The cannabis has to be tested. That way you know you're not inhaling anything that's bad for you. Just like if steroids were to become legal, you would end up being able to buy something that's not going to give you some side effect.
Oh, I had to stretch for a minute there. I got to stretch it out.
Early morning down here.
So you having a good day today, man? I saw you got up early, found your early Starbucks.
Yeah, I always wake up early, man. It's just part of my DNA. Getting the metabolism going, getting the mind going. But I'll tell you, the whole, you know, now steroids is called TRT. You know, it's evolved into testosterone replacement therapy because men have realized that their numbers get low and estrogen takes over in an estrogen-filled world. And so TRT is very common now. It's less threatening. And it just goes to show that over time, things that were once illegal, things that were once demonized, eventually through public opinion and becoming educated on subjects, it becomes legal. It becomes usable.
Yeah, see, I've seen commercials on TV for human growth hormone. Is that similar? I mean, is that...
Well, what that is, it's an extracted it's an extracted supplement from naturally occurring substances that in a study in a lab will show that it could increase this, that, and the other, but it's nothing compared to if you take the injectable growth hormone, which if you read about it is kind of the closest thing to the fountain of youth. Now, once again, you know, if you're going to do any of this, you want to do it by doctor's oversight, prescription, biweekly blood tests. Now, that being said, I mean, if you go back into the 60s and 70s and even the 20s and 30s when it started, you know, steroids and muscular strength was once looked upon as a circus show.
Yeah.
You know, great feats of strength. And it's evolved now into a trillion-dollar industry because it crosses all barriers of psychology. If you're big and strong and confident, you're going to have more people looking at you, more doors opening up for you. I mean, look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. Look at all of the movie stars and all the athletes that use it. The whole baseball industry. I mean, it's prolific. The negative talk about it is because people fear the unknown. And if you're not willing to go ahead and educate yourself on the fear, then you'll stay fearful.
Yeah, definitely. Roid rage, is that real thing? Motherfuckers just
Roid rage is real. Roid rage is real.
Anything to curb that, or that's just going to be there? That's just going to happen.
It really depends from one person to the next. I think the younger you use it, the more it may surface for you. Whereas if you're older, you may be able to feel it coming on. It's a wave of energy. It's a wave of energy that you're supposed to put towards the weights.
Yeah.
But like once again, a couple people up at the gym can be turned into a stereotype that blankets the whole world because of fear.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
See, that's what, I mean, growing up, dude, I never would have even thought about touching steroids because they're like, oh, you're going to headbutt the walls, beat the fuck out of your girlfriend, and your dick and balls are going to fucking shrink up. That was enough for me.
Right. Well, that's my point. Mean,
I worked out quite a bit when I was younger. And I mean, when I was a kid, dude, like I live in a small town, but we're a football town. When I was a kid, our high school look like fucking WWF superstars. There's no way they weren't on a straight program, dude. And then by the time I got up to high school, it was all skinny motherfuckers getting their heads knocked off, you know? Like,
right.
Because they just pounded in our fucking heads, basically, that any drug was bad. But I remember having steroid, you know, they'd have assemblies because there was a kid, there was a kid at a school about 60 miles away, and he was one of their best football players, and I played against him in basketball, and he was pretty good. He was a little short, but he was a good ball player. But this motherfucker was yoked, dude. And he had that, like, Chris Benoit forehead, you know, pimply. Like, dude, I gave him shit because I was like, this dude's on roids. But he had a fucking scholarship to go to Ole Miss to fucking play football. Fucking right. About two months later, our basketball coach came up to us. He's like, man, you remember that kid you were giving so much hell to? And I was like, yeah. He's like, he got popped for steroids, lost his scholarship, lost fucking everything, you know?
Right.
So they kind of pounded it in our fucking heads. You're going to work the fuck out, but don't you dare fucking take steroids, you know?
Yeah, it was part of the
that Reagan shit, you know?
Yeah.
War on drugs, part of that.
I was just, I wasn't affected. Being out here in California, it's all around you. You're seeing people who are muscular. You know, it's kind of thrown in your face to do it.
Yeah, definitely got to keep up with the motherfuckers on the beach just posing.
But I'll tell you, when I was up against doing the next level, I was doing basic steroids, you know, like testosterone cypionate, Winstrol V, halotestin, equipoise, Dianabol. These are just basic steroids that get you big with some water retention, and then you could diet it down for contest or a specific type of movement. But to take it to the next level in the early 90s when they were started to use human growth hormone, which really unlocks the potential for certain muscles on your body to grow, whereas others wouldn't. That's why now you have these bodybuilders that all look the same. Doesn't matter how tall you are. They all have the same size muscle bellies because of growth hormone and other types of drugs. I mean, there's a drug that you could take to just increase the size of your muscle before you compete as a bodybuilder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has gotten way overboard. But I'll tell you, the bodybuilders are the one subset of people that are kind of paving the future for human performance to show what can be done to the level that you can take the body, even if it is under prescription or underground drugs. Look, the person still has to show up every morning. You got to sweat your balls. You got to eat. I mean, it's not like you take the drugs and you can't work out. That doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
You have to put this.
So are steroids acceptable in bodybuilding? Like, they're not acceptable in most sports, but bodybuilding, it's acceptable, or pretty much you have to? I mean, like competitive bodybuilding, you know?
Oh, I mean, that's what the whole industry is based on.
Yeah.
The whole industry is based on everyone looking the other way, because all of the doctors, all of the judges, all of the affiliates, all of the promoters are all in on it.
Yeah.
It's just like to its club. You know, use an example that's maybe not the best, but you got a police department, you got a bad apple, and a lot of good apples cover for the bad apple, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's the same thing in every segment of society. You know, I think there's maybe been 3 or 4 deaths to steroids in the last 25 years.
Yeah. That's
which were some bodybuilders that had some internal bleeding because they were taking too many cutting drugs. And I think another bodybuilder had some type of accident. I mean, there are some bodybuilders where they've committed suicide, they killed their girlfriend, but so rare. I mean, look, you have 115 opioid deaths every day in America. And then you got these bodybuilders who are taking $15,000 to $20,000 of worth of drugs to maintain the look. They're not dropping dead. There must be something better than opiates, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we're very judging society. It keeps people in their lane. If Arnold Schwarzenegger never stepped out of the lane and never got involved in it, which was his ticket out of his country, he would have never spawned the millions and millions of young men like me and you to even want to work out.
Yeah, definitely.
So we just have to know the whole story about things, because if not, we get caught up in, you know, don't smoke weed, you'll lose your life. You know? And there's truth to that for the people that it happens to, but it's, you can't, it's such a small amount compared to the masses that are doing it. You know, look, if you have good talent and you take steroids, you'll be great. If you have great talent and you take it, you can become a legend.
Definitely.
You know, Jose Canseco was the guy to expose the whole industry with his book in the early 90s. Jose Canseco was doing it with everybody.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Bash Brothers back in the day, man. Oakland, him and McGuire, dude.
Exactly.
Just fucking killing the ball. And then goddamn...
they were all in on it.
You know, McGuire's the goddamn home run champ. Everybody gives him the shit, praises. And then Barry Bonds breaks the record, but he's a fucking cheater. You know, you can't tell me Sosa and McGuire weren't fucking jacked to the gills, bro.
Oh, for sure, you know?
And then when Bonds breaks the home run record, it's basically, oh, he's on steroids. Motherfucker, they're all on steroids. Like, they should just have a steroid league, put the fences back about 200 feet, and let's go to work. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, that would be the future Olympics.
Yeah, just anything goes, man.
Now, look, here's what's crazier now. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You know, the steroid is still in a class one scheduled drug.
Holy shit.
Like cocaine and heroin and marijuana. So my point is that if you go to a doctor now and get it prescribed, then it's okay. Like, there's always a pass in America if you pay to play.
Yeah.
So that's what people need to realize and do their own research, do their own their own insight, their own mining.
So, like, how does it work when you do steroids? You constantly on them, or like, I've heard of cycles. Like, what do you on off, or, you know, how does that work? Yeah.
Basically, what happens is when you take a steroid, you start small and you slowly progress to a plateau, which is a number, like, you know, 3 cc's or, you know, 400 milligrams, and then you pyramid back down. And you take multiple steroids in order to get variances and effects. There's almost maybe an entourage effect that occurs as well.
Yeah.
And your first cycle tends to be your best cycle because your receptors are fresh. That's why you cycle different drugs every couple months, 2 months on, 2 months off, let the receptors go down. And then when the drug passes through the bloodstream, it's more receptive, you see?
Okay.
And that,
I said, okay.
Yeah. So, and look, I mean, I've done some cycles where I didn't have any effects on a certain drug I was taking because it just didn't work with my body.
Yeah.
I didn't have any side effects from that, other than it just not being what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that was some stuff that I got in Tijuana. You know, you could go to Tijuana to this day, go to a doctor, pay for a prescription, which will allow you to go to different pharmacies, as many as you have money to go to, and to buy as many drugs as you can that you know are real, and then the rest is up to you, right?
Yeah, see, I know there used to be a lot of wrestlers that would go down to Tijuana and just stock up on hydrocodones and bring them back for the fucking boy, you know.
You know, look, you know, that's why drugs need to be legal. It's rid of the cartel. It gets rid of people putting themselves in jeopardy, right? Make it all legal. Go through, you know, you make it legal like in the weed game. People in California don't realize what real recreational marijuana is yet because they're still happy buying a $20 eighth. They don't want to spend $50, $60. It doesn't make sense yet. But once they smoke a clean, regulated product, it's going to start to make some difference in people's minds.
I'm kind of getting off subject here a little bit, but so are there a lot of growers in California that don't want it recreational?
Correct.
Because it's just fucking up their money, basically, and they don't want the feds all in their shit. Or I guess it wouldn't be the feds, it'd be the state, wouldn't
It's just like this, man. The more recreational industry takes over, it's going to take price share away from them. That's all.
Yeah.
But you're never going to be getting, you're never going to get rid of it because you're always going to have people who just want, you know, you don't a connoisseur when it comes to weed like me. You just
Yeah.
want to smoke. You don't care what it is.
Yeah.
You get high. It doesn't matter if it's sprayed with pesticides or fungicides, you're getting high.
Yeah.
And your money
See,
can't
they
afford the
passed
better
that.
shit.
Yeah, for sure. They passed medical here in Arkansas, but they're fighting it so fucking hard. They're saying the wording was fucked up, and then the list of ailments that you can qualify for, you basically got to be fucking dead or have cancer to even qualify, dude. It's just so ridiculous to me that, I mean, weed's legal in DC where they make the fucking laws. And I'm sitting here having to buy a fucking 20 sack from a random dude, you know? Like, shit's fucking
Yeah, those are the
ridiculous.
lawmakers. Those are your lawmakers. They need to retire and they need to
Yeah,
make room
definitely.
for people who are with it.
Yeah, I mean, we voted in medical, but our governor's totally against it. The bitch that's about to run for governor, she's totally against it. You gotta have a mil you gotta it's $1 million to even sign up for the fucking license. Like they're trying, I mean, you know, it's gonna take motherfuckers coming in from out of state to get this shit going.
Yeah, they only
There's not
want the
very
real
many
big
motherfuckers.
money actors involved.
Yeah, there's not very many motherfuckers in Arkansas who have that kind of money that give a fuck about cannabis. It's all old fucking money, you know.
Well,
Money
when you
that
think about it,
people,
it's got.
it's still fucking you know, reefer madness around here. People think you're gonna jump out a fucking window if you smoke a joint, you know.
I mean, look, all you got to do is just click over to Colorado, Washington or Vegas, and just see that, you know, the sky hasn't fallen.
Yeah, definitely. That's all, you know. I mean, I'm
But look,
old enough. I don't know if I've got the I don't know if I've got the speaking ability, but man, I'm old enough to run for something around this motherfucker, you know, and try to get something going. I just, you know, the last person my age that ran for mayor here, it was a black dude. He just got fucking smeared, bro. Like, they brought every fucking bad thing that motherfucker done since he was 5 years old.
Right. Well, look, here's the
But
thing. If you can speak about it in public, then you could take the hits, man.
yeah, definitely. But it, man, it's just so fucked up. Like, you know, when they had the guys around here with the petitions, you know, to sign to send to fucking Little Rock to try to get marijuana legalized, we had the fucking most stoned ass, fucking dirty ass, hippie looking motherfuckers passing out these goddamn things. Who didn't nobody want to fuck with them? Didn't nobody want to sign that shit? They need, you know, they need Mitchell Sand out there talking to motherfuckers, you know?
It's tough, bro. It's tough. It's the advocates that you need. It's the people who are passionate about it and the people who are willing to die for it ultimately.
Yeah.
That's the
I
way any
think it's,
change.
you know,
Once they see what kind of money it's going to generate and that there's not going to be as much bullshit as they think it's going to be, you know, they're all still talking, oh, it's going to raise crime. Well, no, motherfucker, it ain't, because you're going to have
We can,
access to it, you know?
you know, it's probably even more than that is the type of people, because I know within my own experience, you know, the state is ready. Just, I think it's a lack of people, a lack of good actors, because
Yeah, definitely.
we're coming out of being illegal. They scared people to hell the last 40 years with this war on drugs and cannabis. So the people who are coming out are the ball slingers, you know, the people who can grab their balls and be like, fuck it. All this talk that comes out about Jeff Sessions and Trump and all that is just scaring the scary people.
Yeah.
The people who are willing to jaywalk and they get away with it every day, it's a different kind of way of how you live your life, you know?
Yeah.
People don't want to hear this. Everybody wants to pretend like everybody follows the laws. But yet, oh my God, when the law's broken, like, oh, you're so different. There's no difference.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. It's like I figured out my son plays travel baseball, and when we go to some of these games, you know, I'll take a bag with me and I'll sit out on the balcony at night and smoke. Found a lot of underground fucking smokers that way, you know, like
Right.
parents in bed, they like to smoke, but you know, they would never sign a fucking petition, you
Right.
know, just because their name would be on it, you know, that somebody else might see. It's like
Exactly.
my
So that
mom,
just,
before she passed away, she, you know, she worked at Kroger here for 35 years. We're in a small
Oh, wow.
town, like everybody here knew my mom, man, and loved her. But she was at the state fair one year. And she had already been diagnosed with breast cancer and beat it. But she signed, you know, she was in Little Rock at the state fair. That's 100 miles away. She signed a fucking petition to, you know, help legalize marijuana in Arkansas. Well, fucking 2 weeks later, she's at work and some lady walks up to her and was like, damn, Sharon, I didn't know you was cool like that. You know, like her
Right.
mom didn't want her name out there like that, you know, but she wanted to
Right.
fucking help the You know, and my stepdad actually started growing some really good hydro for her, you know, when she was in her last days.
Wow. That's committed.
But yeah, dude, and I don't know. I'm still struggling with my mom passing. She just passed away in June, or not June, September.
Oh man, yeah.
And
It's gonna take it's gonna it's a forever thing, bro. It's nothing you get over.
oh yeah. I know we're getting off the steroid topic, but it's just good talking to you, man. You're hell of an interview, bro. We could talk about anything all fucking day.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Oh man, I had a fucking joint around this. I had a joint roach. I can't find it. I'm sitting in the dark because my goddamn fan in my bathroom is too fucking loud. I might have lost my
Oh.
wing.
Yeah, I
Got a
got me a
big
new
day.
lighter, so just gonna take my dog for a walk here, and I have an
Hell yeah.
event I'm going to tonight down at the Marriott here in Las Vegas. The Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful, is gonna be putting on, so see what he has to
Oh
offer.
shit, you gonna approach him about the fucking K1 shit, the smell
Oh
technology,
no,
or
n nothing like that. Totally
oh
going as a you know, as a listener to the
okay.
lecture.
Oh cool. That's nice. Hell yeah.
About it.
Well cool, man. Looks like we went about 27 minutes this time.
Yeah.
Good talk.
Appreciate it. We'll have to work up to Joe Rogan status.
Hell yeah.
You go like 4 hours and shit.
Yeah, he's a talker, man. Yeah, I'm getting used to this thing, man. I think this episode's gonna be pretty sweet with the different transitions and whatnot. But
Yeah, you know, one or two transitions is fine from the main subject, just as long as it's not like 50. People like
yeah,
to
I think
have a focus.
I went a little nuts on the first one, but I think this one's gonna be just about right. Oh man. Well, cool, Mitch. It was good talking to you, bro. Unless you got anything else, I'll let you go. did you get to your day?
There, boy. Yeah, I'm just gonna be walking my dog. I'll have to do an interview on you. Our next one, I'll have to come up with. Talk to you about some good stuff. Family life.
Hell yeah, yeah. I do the music shit, and I wrestle and raise kids. That's about it, man. We actually got a fucking show coming up in Memphis on the 23rd. It ought to be pretty fun. But if you Google Midget Cum Stash, the second coming, or second album, it's pretty decent fucking album.
Okay.
Rock, you know, some hip hop influence.
Wow.
But if you Google Midget Cum Mustache, you know, our Bandcamp page will come up, and there's two albums and two singles on there. And it's all real good fast music, and the lyrics are ridiculous. And then there's a couple where we slow it down, get a little hip hop shit going. But you ought to check it out, man. But we have to change our name to MCM to book shows. So
cool.
But we'll have to do round three. We'll have to do round three with Mitchell Sam pretty soon, man. Hope you have a great day, bro. It was great talking to you.
I appreciate it so much, man. Thanks so much. You have a good one too. We'll keep this up.
All right, later, bro.
Thanks, man. Take care.
You too. All right, that was round two with Mr. Mitchell Sam, Las Vegas's own fitness guru, cannabis growing expert, proprietor of K1 Brands, top-notch smell technology. They make sense, bitches. So we had a good talk with Mitch. It went off good. We're definitely going to have to do a round three with him in the future. There's so much I could talk to that man about. But looking towards episode three, looks like we're going to have Mr. Ron Core in the house, guitarist and founding father of the greatest band in the world, Midget Cum Mustache. Speaking of Midget Cum Mustache, if you're in the Memphis, Tennessee area, April 23rd, it's a Monday night, 8 p.m., Midget Cum Mustache is going to be live with Pissing Comets and William Blackheart. We're going to get the fuck out of here. The clock on the wall says it's time to go the fuck home. I'm Flex Bastard. Thanks for tuning in. It's Flex 30.